Welcome to the Wealthy, Wealthy, Wise podcast. If you would like to listen in on thought-provoking conversations with countercultural thought leaders and experts in the fields of wealth, health, and relationships, the three keys to having what I call a wealthy, wealthy life, then this is the show for you. I'm Christina Wise, real estate investor, best-selling author of Falling for Money, and founder of Wealthy Wealthy, where I serve as your personal guide to money, health, and happiness. Welcome back. In this episode, I talk with my good friend, Sean Wells. Sean has lots of initials behind his name. He's an uber successful entrepreneur in the fields of performance nutrition, longevity, fitness, and supplementation. He owns a supplement company where he makes his own formulations. He has a master's in nutritional biochemistry, is a certified sports nutritionist working with many celebrity clients and professional athletes. He's been dubbed as the world's greatest formulator and is well known as a biohacktivist and keto authority. Sean is a renowned leader in the realms of health and peak performance, yet in this conversation, he talks about the missing truths about wellness far beneath all of the biohacks, diets, and fads. Although he's a scientist, we go deep into the woo of energy and health, those forces that feed the mitochondrial health of our cells beyond just the physical. This is a longer podcast because the conversation between us took over and time lapsed. So take a longer commute route or a longer walk because you won't want to miss a second of tuning into his life wisdom. If you're feeling that something's a bit lagging in your health and or happiness, you'll wish to listen in. Please enjoy my conversation with Sean Wells. Sean, welcome to the Wealthy Wealthy podcast. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. Good morning.
All right. Well, how fun is this? We did a short Facebook Live earlier this week, and now we're sitting down for a podcast so we can go deeper. And you and I, we met at the JJ Virgin Mastermind over New Year's, and we talked about what I loved when we started off that mastermind. JJ was asking, what are our words for the year? And one of my words is deeper, and it's to go deeper in conversation, to go deeper in relationships, go deeper in self. And then my other word is expansion, to really ground in the depth, but then to look for places to expand. And part of that is going deeper with you. So I'm really excited to get to know you better and to introduce you to everyone. I just think the world of you based on the opportunity to meet you. So let's go deep. Tell me and everyone listening a little bit about the real Sean Wells.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I really have enjoyed getting to know you. The real Sean Wells, let's see. The biggest thing is I have been on an incredible journey, one that involves pain and trauma. But also I feel like the beautiful part, and I talk about that our broken is our beautiful, is that I'm getting past that and I'm helping others. And I wouldn't be here talking to you. I wouldn't have the platform I had or have now without going through all that, you know? So I grew up in a chaotic home, and I grew up bullied. I was overweight, and I was called fat ass all the time by everyone at school. I not only was overweight, but I had a gynoid fat distribution, which is, you know, basically a big rear end, which is not amazing to grow up as a boy like that. And I was also very late, a late bloomer. And so I looked like a 12-year-old when I was a 16-year-old. And it was just tough. Like I just got abused a lot and bullied a lot. So I think over time that took its toll on my immune system. I ended up getting things like Hashimoto's, Epstein-Barr virus, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue when I was in college. And I couldn't even get out of bed. I was in extreme pain, extremely inflamed. I was thinking of committing suicide because I felt like my life was over, that I'd never be able to like hold a real job or use my brain. And I started digging in, this is about 20 years ago, into keto. And I started working on that and trying it, and it helped me dramatically. I was able to get out of bed. It reduced my pain and inflammation. And I found this new lifestyle but it was hard to maintain at that point. There wasn't like the communities and the recipes and the snacks and all the things. So it was much harder for me. No one had ever heard of it. And it wasn't until about 8 years ago when I got a pituitary tumor that I decided to really buckle down. And that's when I went strict keto. I was doing paleo, biohacking, you know, working with an endocrinologist, like doing all the things I could do to improve my health, improve my life. I started working out every day, not just periods of working out and then periods of not working out. And that's when I started putting it together. But it's been a difficult journey. I've also dealt with obesity, where I've been near 300 pounds and I'm about 6'2", 6'3". And I've also been 150 pounds and anorexic. I remember there was points in my life when I would go pee and then weigh myself and just see if I was like, oh, I'm a half pound lighter, you know, or something. And I was just chasing numbers on the scale. And people made fun of me because I looked like Skeletor, they said. And I've just run the gamut. I was like, wow, I've been made fun of for being obese. Now I'm getting made fun of for being looking like an emaciated skeleton. And now I've hit like a pretty good point where, you know, I don't necessarily keep a six pack, but that's not my goal anymore. It's just trying to be happy with my body and just be in a healthy place. As long as I feel healthy and I'm working out every day, I'm eating right. But I also like allow myself to, you know, have, I don't even call it cheat days because I mean, that makes it sound like it's bad. Like I call it planned carbohydrate days or planned fun days or whatever. And I enjoy that. Like, so, and I fit it in. I call it cyclical and targeted ketogenic dieting, where I have one day a week where I can have whatever I want, or around a workout, I could have a little bit of carbohydrate. And so that works for me. So that's where I'm at. I'm trying to be more balanced, and I've been grinding for most of my life, like working 80-hour weeks for the last 20 years, like using biohacking and all these kind of tricks and science to like push my body like to limits that it shouldn't go to. But I've also been way too hard on myself, like kind of achievement focused and just never being good enough. And I keep hitting like new levels of success and, you know, oh, I'm a seven-figure entrepreneur now, or, you know, I'm on TV and documentaries now and all this stuff, and it's still never good enough. I'm always like, next thing, next thing. I got more goals, more goals. And it's great to be growth focused, but the biggest biohack I'm focusing on now is just self-love and happiness. And that's taken a lot. Like I can study all the books, do like research and find out all the hacks there are, but like going inwards, so much harder. So that's what I've been working on this last year or two, like in masterminds and putting mentors around me like you. And that's been kind of the Sean 2.0, I believe.
I love that. Thank you for sharing all that. I hit that point. I resonate with it so well. I was on that same track on the, no matter where I got, the next there was, you know, I got there and that there wasn't good enough. So it must be at the next there. Then I got to the next there and that didn't feel any different. So it must be at the next there, and just that constant push and grind. And yeah, it all stemmed back to not good enough. And I had to go to that place, that same, that's, and what took me there is my body gave out. It just said, I'm done. Yeah. Like, you can't push me this way, this much anymore. This is not sustainable. And I've been giving you all these warning signs and I'm out. And that forced me on that exploration, that journey. I'd like to go in that a little bit deeper in that, I found too, when, you know, some of us that go through a significant amount of childhood trauma, and I came from a very dysfunctional, traumatic background, and so did my brother. And it's funny because we went on these two different tracks. His track of coping was through drugs and alcohol, and that became his escape. And mine looked really good because I was the perfectionist. Everything I did, I excelled at. I was a perfect straight A student. And my coping mechanism was avoidance through achievement. And so that was there. But still, like, looking for that place of happiness, of feel good, versus, but it was always masked by this, all these accolades that came from success that were these temporary feel goods. But at the end of the day, when I was home alone, you know, it was loneliness and unhappiness, basically. So what have you found, or what are you discovering? Like you said, too, all these hacks can just be a cover-up. It doesn't actually get to the source of disease. And like with you and your work, so much is, okay, disease, what's the source? What are we finding with the source of all these ailments or symptoms, or, you know, looking for hacks and all these... Hacks are just relief, like aspirin, to try to relieve the symptoms. What are you finding that, going back to the source of the emotional piece, like that's the place to start and to work on?
It's so massive. Like, you know, for years I've talked about like mitochondrial dysfunction, oxidation, inflammation, all these different reasons for aging, and sirtuin genes and telomere length, and I can get so deep into it, but like, here's the most important part. You live 12 years longer if you're happy. You live longer if you have purpose. You are the product of the five people around you. So who are you putting around you? Are you consciously choosing that? Yes, it matters what you eat. But if you look at the blue zones, they are choosing community as well as whole food. And the diets vary greatly. Some of them are kind of keto-ish. Some of them are Mediterranean. Some of them are, you know, vegan-ish. But they're all whole food. But the biggest thing is that they're all sitting together for 3 hours, talking, fellowshipping, sharing, laughing, enjoying the food, not shoveling it in their face under stress. And having purpose, having mentors, eating food that's quality food, slowly, in fellowship, in community, choosing happiness, those are all massive, massive things that can really shift your life. And if you're seeking things in your life, if you start with your why, if you choose your purpose, if you focus on the things that light you up and align with your best self, so many things will fall into place. Some people call it manifestation. I feel like manifestation is kind of like this woo word, but essentially, like, if you just move towards things that make you happy, things will start falling into place. Because you're not noticing things around you when you're unhappy, when you're grinding, when you're pushing, when your head's down. I mean, what does heads down mean? It means you're not noticing things around you. You're surviving. So there are people that you could connect with around you. There are opportunities around you. You're just not seeing them. Whether it's manifestation and the universe and all those things or not, I mean, I don't know. But I do know if your head's up, the world changes greatly.
Yeah, and even when we think of the word grind, or even I think so much of the self-talk can be, when I get to a certain place, then I can be happy. When I have enough money, I can be happy. When I have enough success, I'll be happy. Maybe if I hit that next accolade, I'm on that next documentary, I'll be happy. Maybe when I'm in the right relationship, I'll be happy. So it's still this external out there somewhere in the distant future, hoping it will be the near future. But as long as we hold this belief in a way that it's out there, you know, whatever the out there is that we live by, in this external out there future versus, like you said, in this, pull your head up and in the moment right now, like, what do I have today? Who am I today? What am I grateful for today in this very moment? And just really connecting to that gratitude. I mean, like the gratefulness I can feel right now, like being present with you and having this conversation, like I feel it in my heart. And it's just, this could just be a podcast, check the mark, get another one done, another one for the books. And that would be an easy, like, oh, if I've got to grow this podcast and hit some numbers, great. Sean Wells, pretty famous. Maybe that will really help my numbers. And that will, it's a complete different orientation. Like that can take care of itself if we can just be here and be present together and talk and exchange and connect.
And that's what people will resonate with, is when we're our authentic selves. When we show up as the best version of us, that's the best way we can help other people. It isn't just giving yourself away endlessly. You know, people think like if you want to help people, you just have to give and have nothing left for you. It's so untrue. If you put yourself first, that is the, it's not selfish. If you put yourself first and do self-care, then you can help people at a high level because you're showing up as the best version of you. You're showing up energetic. You're setting boundaries so that you're not wasting time with things that you shouldn't be, and you're spending time on things that really move the needle, where you're at your best and you're impacting lives.
And to find, like, where is meaning? What is really meaningful? What do I really care about? What's in my current space and environment and current time that lights me up, that can make me feel good, that can lift me up to a different energetic vibration? Like, what can I focus on right now that can just pull me from maybe one little bit lower vibrational state to one that's just a little bit higher? And then we lift up automatically, and then we want to look up automatically because that energy even creates a different posture in many cases.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, they've shown that, like, you hold your posture. Like, if you're arms are, your shoulders are slumped forward and your arms are crossed, and you're literally, what you're doing is you're protecting your core, right? When you cross your arms and you're making your body smaller, you're protecting your body. And the opposite of that, when your arms wide open for a big hug, or when you watch like someone win a race, the instinctive thing is to lift their arms to the heavens and just be ecstatic. Because they're letting their energy flow and they're not shutting themselves down. And so it's important to actually think about body language. Your body language says a lot, and the reason that you have that. And a lot of times the places you hold pain, it might be because of some trauma associated with that. I know so many people that have done plant medicine or therapy and dealt with trauma, and then that pain in that area is gone. You know, you may be holding that there for years because of trauma. So body language and the way the body responds and kind of shuts certain areas down. Same with like PTSD, like your brain will shut areas of itself down just to protect you, because it says, we want to store this away in a box and never have you access it again because it creates so much hurt. And so you might have certain areas of your brain shut down that are potentially associated with certain emotions or other good memories, but it's all shut down because you can't deal with that trauma. And sometimes dealing with the trauma, you can get past those things and then access your memories again and access new parts of your brain and feel more whole emotionally.
Yeah, and how much of the not being good enough, I mean, it's wrapped into so much of this achievement mindset that if I can achieve a certain level, then I can be good enough, then I can be recognized. But have you found, like, every sort of next echelon or level of quote unquote achievement, did you feel any different? I mean, there a new Sean at the arrival of that new level of success?
No, I never stopped. I never slowed down. I never took time to enjoy it. I actually prided myself on working through holidays and vacations and trips, and like I would be like, wow, I'm in Maui, I'm in Fiji, or you know, whatever, and like I'm so proud of myself that I'm working through this whole trip. And you know, like fucked up that is, like it's not a point of pride, it's terrible, it's stupid. And but I had trained myself like to really believe that like I was setting myself apart, that the grind is the way and only the tough will make it through this, you know, this gauntlet, if you will, of pain and misery. And I thought that's how you really make it. Like to do, what others are unwilling to do. And, you know, there's a little truth to that, but it's, I think, by and large, overall, it's a lie, and it can become addictive, and it can become like a permanent mindset. And I'm actually working on backing off from that stuff.
Yeah, and isn't it that if we're in that grind, we're grinding to get there. We're, again, I keep going back to there. We're grinding to get to a certain place, that we have to grind it out to get to that certain place. And if we can just let go of the grind, and I'm just doing the work that I'm doing, I'm doing great work for impacts, it's my purpose, and I'm in full love, and I'm in full experience, and in full flow. It's as though I see, especially in our entrepreneurial business world that we're in, and so much, you know, cultural, this achievement mindset, and if I hit certain numbers or certain level, then quote unquote, I'll be good enough. And we're missing our life in the meantime. But isn't it that that when we're in the grind, again, we're attached, I have to do this now to get to some place, versus if we just show up and enjoy each day and be in our best work and live our purpose, there's no finish line. Like, people are racing as though there's a race to win, and there's a finish line that once you cross that finish line, then nirvana, like, wah. It's like, no, every day, it's just living that day. There's no race. There's no finish line. Why do we have to hit a certain number by a certain time? Why can't we just get up and be our best self that day and do our best work and whatever we can create or produce or accomplish, and let the magic of the universe and what we attract to put out, and then just get out of the race? Like,
yeah,
like get out of the race, get out of trying to win something that there's no race to be won.
Then so much of that is the messaging, in America, in China, in certain countries that are, you know, capitalistic and are just, you know, cranking on the economy. Like, they get more and more and more out of the workers. And that should be where you get your pride and achievement, is from working. And that's the message we're given. And certainly, if you're to look at the best economies in the world, they are the best. And it does work on a global level. But if you look at the countries and the communities that are healthiest, it's not those countries. It's the countries in those blue zones, like, you know, in Korea, in Sardinia, Italy, in Africa, like, just where life is simple, where they have community, where they eat whole food, where they slow down, where they have a belief in something greater than themselves. And basically the biggest thing is they're not chasing anything. They are living their day and living for that day, and are present and mindful.
Yeah. The mindful word is, there's really just a few things perhaps to focus on, is presence. Wherever you are, be there. I used to always be future tripping. Wherever I was, I wasn't there. I was always in the future somewhere. Like, I need to get through this moment so I can get on to the next thing and next thing. So I was never in the present moment. And my mind was always elsewhere. So I was missing my life while I was in it. And so presence, and then gratitude. I was listening to something from Mary Morrissey recently, and she said, gratitude is the frequency of abundance. And if you believe in the frequency scale, then 100 is fear and 500 is love. And gratitude exists at this frequency of love. And she said, so in the move from contraction to abundance, and her words were, gratitude is the frequency of abundance. So if we want abundance, the feeling of abundance, the feeling of plenty, the feeling of I am enough, I've got enough, doesn't mean we're slowing down. It doesn't mean we're stopping. It doesn't mean we're not going to continue to grow and evolve and maybe do bigger works. But it's just a matter of being grateful in the moment and resonating at abundance. Because when you are grateful, and she put it too, that there's different types of gratitude. There's grateful if. I'll be grateful if these things happen. So that's not really gratitude. Then there's gratitude for, which means I'm grateful for these things, which is like this next layer or level of gratitude that's great to really recognize what we're grateful for, which is nice. But she said the true frequency of abundance through gratitude is you're just grateful. in every moment that you can be grateful for, that no matter what the experience, it's resonated like, I'm just grateful to be alive. I'm grateful for this experience. I'm grateful for this moment. I'm grateful for this situation. I'm grateful for the food in front of me. I'm just grateful, you know? And so it's a mood. It's a way of being, a way of living, of just living in gratitude as gratitude. And that's that frequency. If we want to resonate at that frequency, which is the frequency of abundance and happiness, then if we're in the grind, we're not grateful by virtue of that. Would you agree that right there, we're not grateful because we have to grind because we can't be like right now, it's not good enough. We have to grind to get to that next spot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. The very nature of grinding says that your head's down and you don't want to be where you're at. You're certainly not heads up and appreciating the moment. And you're trying to get somewhere, as you were pointing out. And I've worked on a concept. I have a book coming out called The Energy Formula, but I also have an ebook and a series coming out with my friend Andy Murphy that's called Hustle and Flow, Fuck the Grind. And it's all about that we are told that the grind is what's so important. The grind sets you apart. And like I was telling you, it was destroying me. And the very nature scientifically of grinding is breaking down, building up heat. Things are smoking and not working any longer. That's grinding. That's friction. And maybe occasionally you have to do that, but not consistently. And you should be in moments of hustle and flow. Like hustle is the sympathetic nervous system where you're driven and you're connected and you're working hard, but you're enjoying it. And flow should be that flow state that you can get to that's more parasympathetic, where this is like your zone. And this is like where you're completely at your best, completely plugged in. This is who you truly are. And those moments are moments of such great clarity and joy that like those are the moments we should be chasing, but we should be doing it through hustle and not grind.
I like that. I like that distinction. Actually, I'm going to think a little bit about that. And there's so much, even the cultural dogma that I find myself in many times is, even if we look at so much of the business models and it's scale, it's more, it's like it's more is better, more scale, bigger, just this constant push energy in a way, like wherever I am, again, it's not good enough. And then a lot of that too is, let's say I'm more in the coaching side, that's in my business, and in any of the coaching models, it's one to many, don't do one to one, time is money. And I'm a money coach, so you know, time is money, but don't do one to ones because, you know, you're selling your time for, you know, your dollar per hour. And I bought into that for a long time, but then I realized I was robbing myself of my best self, one, my best place where I can offer the most value, and I was missing out by connecting with real humans, because now it just became this group thing that was all about business, and I'm a businesswoman. So it's blending these, like the duality of these things together, but I just realized I love my one-to-one conversations because I can really help people, and I'm listening, and they understand I care, and I can offer real help that can be transformational that I can't do in 1 to 1,000 people. And right. So there's that amount of time and space I've opened up because it's as important to me as it is maybe to the other person on the other side. But I've had to remove myself from that mindset of dollar per hour. It's like, it doesn't matter. It's all about fulfillment and meaning and contribution and impact and how it can blend into the overall business model and, you know, how we build the business, but even build it organically and let it grow naturally, as opposed to, oh my God, I need to scale this and this and this. Like, fuck, like, can we just like slow down and just be present and enjoy the work and the benefit, you know, the ripple effect of how that can organically make its way out to the world?
Yeah, there's a quote, I'm paraphrasing a bit, by Jim Carrey, the actor, who says, I wish everyone could be rich and famous once so they could see that that's not the answer. And it was cool to see him like really walk away from Hollywood for a number of years. And he worked on painting, and he kind of went inward. And I think comedians in particular are, you know, prone to deep depression, like the high and the low. And you've seen so many, you know, Jim Belushi, Chris Farley. There's a super long list. Like
Robin Williams.
Yeah. All these people that are dead now because of that kind of high and low. And it's good that he like stepped back and just connected with his true self and started working on other things. And now he's back in Hollywood, but he seems completely different. And I love that idea. Like, you know, if you could, let's say, I don't know what the numbers are for you to feel comfortable, but let's say $100,000 a year versus $1 million. And, you know, $1 million sounds like the greatest number ever to so many people. But let's say you're making $1 million a year and you've got a cool BMW in the driveway, a beautiful home, and, you know, you've got all the things, you take these cool vacations, but you're miserable, you're grinding, you're working 80 hours a week, you're not doing much self-care, you're exhausted when you take any trip anywhere, and you dread going into work. You go to the gym, but you're exhausted and then not looking forward to the day at hand when you leave the gym. You know, does that sound good? Like, let's say the $100,000 a year, you're in an amazing relationship, you're connected, you're happy. When you go to the gym, you get more energy, you're connecting with friends. You know, you're going to dinner at night and just laughing and enjoying a glass of red wine. And when you take your trips, maybe they're just day trips in the state that you live, but you go somewhere fun, you go hiking, you go to the beach, whatever it is, you go skiing, and you're like, man, my life is amazing. The people I have around me are amazing. I feel so much gratitude and energy. And maybe you're driving a Camry and it's a great car and life is good. Like, so what? Which one's the better one? Like, what are we chasing? When I was in that plant medicine moment, the thing that was like hit me over the head like a ton of bricks, like doing psilocybin for the first time, was I had this epiphany when I was laying in a cuddle puddle that I've spent years like working on achievement and trying to get somewhere that I'll eventually be happy. And when I was laying there with six other people and kind of loving on them and caressing them and just feeling like childlike joy and happiness, my heart being open, I thought, this is what I want. This is what I should be chasing, is just love, and it's free and it's here. And I don't have to do anything to get it except show up as the best me and give love back and be able to receive it, you know? And that was like, wow. Like, it sounds so obvious to say. All this sounds so obvious. And yet, why are we doing other things? Like, it's just like, when I can tell you all the nuances of nutrition, fitness, supplements, all these things. But by and large, people know you should work out, you should exercise, you should walk, stay active, and you should eat whole foods. Like, there's technicalities of paleo, keto, blah, 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 all these different things. But by and large, you don't eat Snicker bars, you don't eat potato chips, you don't have Coca-Cola. And yet, why do people do it? And so here we are, like, why is it people are working on achievement? Why is it people are grinding? Why is it people don't like themselves? Why is it they think they're fat and they're ugly, don't think they're good enough? Why is it they think they need more money? They need to buy more things. Why do they have Coca-Cola and Snicker bars and McDonald's? Why do they do this? Why do they skip the gym? Why do they skip taking time to connect with their friends and just watch TV? We know that, for the most part, we actually know the right things to do. Yes, there's experts like me, like you, but why do people do these things? And I believe it's because they're not starting with their why. and they're not chasing the things that light them up, and they're not intentionally putting mentors around them that they should model and try and be like, and they're not feeling joy and gratitude every day and making it an intention to do so. They're not mindfully present in the moment, putting away their cell phone and putting away all distractions to have a true conversation, connect, and look eye to eye. I love the old idea of shaking someone's hand, or even better, hugging them and looking them eye to eye and saying, hello, yes, I agree. Because I noticed that when I walk around, people are supposedly more connected than ever with social media. But I noticed when I walk around, when I walk by people, they put their head down. They're scared to even acknowledge you, look you in the eye, like smile, like, you know, like that's not a good place to be. That's operating from fear, not abundance. So yeah, there's a better life waiting for you if you just adjust some minor things. It doesn't involve a better degree. It doesn't involve living in California. It doesn't involve a BMW. It doesn't involve a private jet. It doesn't involve $1 million in the bank. It doesn't involve some special diet. It doesn't involve some IV injection or stem cells or plastic surgery. It just involves you loving yourself, loving the people around you, and being more connected to what you do.
Yeah, I have many thoughts that have popped into my head while you were talking. And one thing that popped up was, I mean, Sean, you're extraordinary. I mean, I adore who you are. And to think that if you would have missed the mastermind where we met because you were grinding to get to your next thing, you would have robbed me the opportunity to get to know you. You know, it's like, so we're robbing others that opportunity to actually know us, when at the end of the day, as humans, we just want to be seen, felt, and understood. Like, do you understand me? We want to be understood. We want to be gotten. And the only way we can feel that is if someone is present with us, listens, like we know they care because we can feel it. And so we're robbing ourselves and each other of those feelings of just love and happiness and fulfillment of being in these moments because we've got our head down. And I'm thinking, oh my God, how sad had I not been able to meet you, because you've got your crazy lifestyle from plane to plane to plane to plane to plane to plane for every next place that you're going. You're a very busy man. So I'm grateful that you took time out. So, you know, I just love developing this friendship with you.
Oh, thank you. And you know what? Like, even if I was there and maybe I didn't do that plant medicine journey on that first day, maybe I wouldn't have met you in the way I was supposed to have met you. You know, maybe I would have been more distracted and kind of future tripping, as you said, like focused on my grind. And I would have been there, but checking the boxes and not really been as present and open-hearted and connecting with so many people.
Yeah, and it's such a good reminder. And I was sharing this with another friend of mine I did a Facebook Live with. His name is Sean Howard. He'll be a speaker like you at the event next weekend at the Wealthy Wealthy Live event. And we were talking a little bit about this, but I was sharing the story with him. Like right now, I've leased out my house that I own. And so I have tenants living in that house. And my new place I'm moving into, and I'm going from 4,200 square feet to 1,100 square feet because I'm just simplifying my life. I'm just getting rid of more heavy, more obligation, more things to take care of, more complexity. So I'm just like, I'm just going to simplify even more. But during this transition, I'm remodeling this new place. So I'm homeless and I'm staying with a friend right now. And I have to be in and out of that place because of some family stuff. If you looked at my car, it is packed. I'm actually living out of one carry-on suitcase right now. Everything that I'm wearing that I use on a day-to-day basis fits in a carry-on suitcase for a couple of months. And I'm just wandering around. I really have nothing right now as far as possessions and my normal space, and it's a little chaotic. And I don't know if I've ever been happier. And I have no stuff. I'm living out of my car, and I'm staying with a different friend on her couch tonight. So it's really this getting, and I'm testing myself even to see if these things are actually true based on these beliefs. And it's like, for me, it's true. It's so nice to be free from all the heaviness and obligation and complexity and stuff, and I'm just going around and having dinner with everybody every night because why not? And it's a beautiful experience that I've gifted myself almost accidentally.
Yeah, and I found that like so much of life, this sounds obvious too, but you know, check yourself if this is true for you. Like there were so many times I was at a mastermind or at a conference and I stayed in my room just working on stuff because I needed to get things done. And I missed like a mixer. I missed like a dinner party. I missed a speaker speaking. And do you know where I've made like some of the best friendships of my life? The biggest ahas in my life was when I was watching a speaker talk about something scientifically and it clicked in my head of, oh, what about this idea, this ingredient? Or when I'm at that dinner party or cocktail thing and I meet some great people and they end up being great friends and then I'm on their podcast or I'm working with them on a business thing or we're just talking every week and lifting each other up. And all that stuff happens when you leave and when you go outside of your home, your doors, whatever, and engage with people. You need to connect with people. We need people in our lives. And that's where all the magic happens. Every time I've been doing business, you know, for months, even on Zoom calls and Skype calls and whatever it is, like, it's cool. It's cool that we can connect and see each other. That's obviously better than the phone. But man, like when you get together in person, it's crazy, like the difference, like what you accomplish just in a day or 2 days. It's like months and months and months of being on a video call. And so there's something so powerful about when we physically connect for real that is life-changing. So I would definitely encourage people to do more of that, to do meetups, you know, like whatever it is you like, there's a meetup group. If you like scrapbooking, if you like, you know, moms walking around the track at the high school, if you like want to do old movies from the 50s and 60s that are black and white, there's a, whatever it is, there's a group, there's a meetup group, I promise. Like you're a big fan of the Steelers, you know, and you want to watch games with other, do that. Stop sitting inside your house and go connect with people. It's so important. Your life will change. You'll stop being depressed when you go outside of yourself and start connecting with other people.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes me think that, you know, how many times do we say our excuse is I'm too busy. So I'm too busy to go to that meetup group. I've got all these things I need to do. My God, I have no time the way it is. So, you know, and it's that excuse to get home and do more of the same, but that I'm too busy because we just pack our lives, like just pack it in where there's no space to breathe. There's no space for the spontaneous. There's no space for actually, you know what I'm going to be there. And I'm just working to flip everything on its head, that I'm working to create as much white space in my life as possible within like the work and the different things so I can say yes to more experiences. I used to never, everything had to be a no because I was so packed with all these obligations and to-dos to make more money and to build a bigger business and scale this and scale that and get to the next thing and speak. And it was just this frenetic adrenaline type energy that I'm an adrenaline addict. I mean, so that adrenaline addiction is something that I was addicted to. And it's like, nope, stop that. Now, even when I get to start feeling that, it's a warning sign to me, like, Christina, maybe look at things. This is going on a little too long. I'm just working to completely reverse that pattern and open up this white space for spontaneity so that when my friend Sammy Taggart said, hey, Christina, can you meet me up at Salt Lake for Dr. Harry's premiere coming up on March 9th or something? I'm like, I'll meet you there. Let's go. Because I've got the space and I'm really working to create as much space because to that point, if I were just my old self, I would miss that because that's so soon. I would have already had my schedule so packed out. I've been like, oh no, I can't do it. But now it's just, and great people are going to be there. We just get to go be in whatever that experience is going to open up for itself. But it just feels so good as part of even making these life changes right now. Again, just simplifying so I can say yes to more experiences with people I love, I care about, or I want to get to know, to go deeper with.
Yeah, and some more on that is that discipline actually is a big part of feeling creative and free. So it's not just one or the other. Like having a disciplined schedule and committing to minimalism and some of the things that you're committing to creating white space, means that you have to commit to your actual schedule to allow for that white space to happen so that you get the things done that you need to get done in the fashion they need to be done, that you have time allotted for you. And like, if you look at Craig Ballantyne is really good in this area. It's called the Perfect Day Formula. And he schedules his calendar so that there's the non-negotiables first. Time with family, time vacationing, time working out, time doing creative writing, time reflecting. And then he builds all that into his calendar. Then you schedule the other work, so that you're not sacrificing all these things that should be there, that are your anchors. And those should be non-negotiables. Taking care of yourself and connecting with your loved ones should be priority number one. Then schedule everything in. So it does take some discipline. It's not just, you know, it sounds like we're just out there chasing the wind and, you know, loving life and like, people are like, well, when are they working? It's not like that. I mean, and it's hard. We're coming from the perspective, like some people are coming from the perspective where they need a Gary Vee to kick them in the ass and tell them you need to get out there and grind, just because, you know, they're not accomplishing much at this point. But I would say that it still doesn't even work for those people. Like it'll work for a little bit, but not long. Like you need to actually find your joy, find your purpose. And then you'll naturally work hard, because when you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah, exactly.
So chasing the grind, I don't think really ever works. And it's really a deep commentary. If you feel like you're grinding, then this is not something you should be doing. Not only should you make a list of the things that light you up, but you should make a list of the things that don't and the people that don't. And then how can you get rid of some of those things, either by delegating, you know, having people help you with it, consultants, EAs, VAs, whatever it is, and then getting rid of the things that you don't need and don't light you up. And there's probably plenty of those things that you can just delete out of your life, and that will make you feel so much better. And it'll give you more clarity on the things that you should be chasing and spending your time on. But doing that, you know, delegating, I think is big too. And most people might think, I can't afford that. Like, you know, I'm working, I have a $50,000 a year job. I can't afford that. $5 an hour, you can get someone through, you know, Fiverr or some of these things in some foreign country that needs help, you know, like they need this. So they can go through your email. They can, you know, whatever it is you need. And, you know, if you have a bigger company, you can obviously afford to hire someone here and put more training into them. But none of this is out of reach. You can get help from anywhere. If you look into it, you work on it. So those are just some pieces of advice I would give.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we connect to Creator and we then create, we need space to create. And my biggest awarenesses come from person to person, or coming from these experiences that I used to avoid to be more productive. And I mean, the organic nature of growth by doing great work and doing these things. I mean, I couldn't have created the opportunities like grinding that I used to do, the things that are just like falling in my lap now, that then's taken it, you know, putting those to work and doing these things. But it's like music in a way, that it's just being with the music and spending time with the percussions and over there, and then time with the winds and just being in the dance of the music and the creating the music, but then experiencing the sound and like, whoa, you mean my business is blowing up and I'm not trying to scale it or grind it, and that it's just like naturally on its own because it's just full on Christina showing up. In whatever, however she's showing up, in whatever energy any given day. It's just, it's like radically different. And I'm just in the middle of experiencing the beauty and the depth of getting out of the normal, I don't know, like you said, just that grind mindset and energy. Let's, on the word energy, let's flip this up a little bit. So We're talking about energy and vibration, more the woo-woo metaphysical and some of these other more practical aspects, how to change this up in real life. Let's talk about energy now on the physical level. Let's delve into some of your expertise. And I know you do a lot with mitochondrial dysfunction and just we don't feel the energy. Like physically, we're tired, exhausted, not sleeping. So there's the metaphysical piece of just vibrating maybe in gratitude and the different things we've talked about. But now on a more physical cellular level, what are you seeing with, we're just tired all the time. What is mitochondria? How is it? What is it when it's dysfunctional and how do we know what's wrong?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest problems is that what we're calling normal is so abnormal that we don't get sunlight anymore and we think it's healthy to be under fluorescent lights, that we don't get fresh air anymore, that it's healthy to be in a box and, you know, breathing recycled air, that we think it's unhealthy to walk around barefoot outside because it makes sense to always have shoes on or be on carpet or in our little box existence. And we think it's weird to walk somewhere when we can drive. We think it's weird to have whole foods when there's prepackaged food or prepared food at some restaurant that has all these bliss point chemicals in it that trigger dopamine and serotonin to make you overeat, and so that you have like food gasms essentially every time you put something in your mouth. And we're also exposing ourselves to blue light at night, like by watching our TV, by looking at our cell phones or tablets in bed in dark, and it's turning off melatonin and it's messing up our circadian rhythm. We're eating late at night, which is messing up our circadian rhythm, the sleep-wake cycle. All these things that we tell ourselves are completely natural are completely unnatural. They're not like where what this body was meant for, and it's having an impact on us. And we think it's weird to go exercise, you know, or use our body and keep it in motion. We think sitting in a chair is what makes sense. Do you know how much of history humans and other species have spent sitting in chairs? Basically none until lately, until the last 50 years. Everything has changed in the last 50 years, and it's showing up in our health. And it's just not healthy like to do that. Like we should be able to, you know, you see people in China like 90 years old, like in a squat, you know, waiting on the bus. And we think, oh, like, you know, after about 30, you know, you can't get down there like that. That's not true. It's just because we have sitting syndrome and we're unhealthy and sitting in chairs all day long. And there's so much of this that's just crazy that we're calling normal that is not normal. Eating a meal in a car is not normal. Taking 3 hours and sitting with other people is normal. And that's what these blue zones do. So all of this is causing low-grade inflammation. We're not getting the sleep we're supposed to get. And they've shown even at 6.5 hours that you start increasing your risk for diabetes, coronary heart disease. You become insulin resistant. And so it's all changing us, not getting enough sleep, not getting the correct nutrition, having an abnormal circadian rhythm where we're not releasing melatonin in the evening like we should, not breathing fresh air and getting these positive ions in us, not grounding and connecting to the geomagnetic forces of the planet, not getting sunshine and getting vitamin D and warm skin and feeling connected to the earth, you know, to the universe. We're in our box and we're disconnected, and it starts showing up emotionally. Like if think about being on a submarine where you can't tell, like, you know, what day and night is, and like these guys go mad. They go crazy in there. Like we shouldn't be doing this to ourselves and calling it normal. We need to be out there, like I say, not only connecting with people, but connecting with the earth and the fresh air and the sun and the ground beneath us. We need to be eating fresh foods, not just paleo foods is great. Whole foods is great. That's a big step, but also try and get the freshest food possible that has more life force, more energy in it than some food that's been, you know, stored away and frozen for months. You know, like or some food that's coming from the other side of the planet that's out of season just so we can have it. You know, try and eat fresh, try and eat local. And all of this stuff is leading towards low-grade inflammation, insulin resistance, mitochondrial dysfunction, insufficient cellular energy states. It's called ICE. And it's very common now, insufficient cellular energy. We're not making enough energy. And when the body doesn't make enough energy and you're trying to do all the things that you can do, your muscles get hypertonic. You get into states of inflammation, oxidation, and glycation. Glycation's blood sugar damage. And that creates advanced glycation end products, which is called ages. And you literally age from this blood sugar damage, blood sugar being elevated. And so we're in this, like, the rat race, like you're talking about. We're staying elevated in cortisol and the sympathetic nervous system, which is the fight or flight side of the nervous system. We want to be stimulated all the time, and we're exhausted, and we need sugar stuff like danishes and pastries and donuts. And then we need our Monster or Red Bull or coffee, and we got to keep going, keep pushing. And what do you think this is over time? And then getting 5-6 hours of sleep, and then racing in our cars and being pissed off in traffic, no self-care. What does this equal? Obviously, it's going to take its toll on your body. And we're seeing that. We're seeing diseases grow. And as you get into this mitochondrial dysfunction, you start seeing more rapid biological versus chronological aging. And you start seeing all disease risk go up. Cancer, Parkinson's, diabetes, heart disease, all of it go up. Because of the states we're putting ourselves in. And the mitochondria are very key in terms of creating the cellular energy, ATP. If you remember, you know, high school biology with, like, that's the energy factory of the cell, or, you know, the powerhouse of the cell. And that's what it's doing. And we're not allowing them to work at their peak potential. And when you're doing things like keto, like exercise, like eating paleo, like getting sunlight, like grounding, you see that there's actually something called mitochondrial biogenesis, where you create new mitochondria, you create new energy powerhouses. So that changes everything. Now you feel more energy. But you have to, like, just like we were talking about, like, how you have to get rid of the things that are draining you and not lighting you up. You have to get rid of the people that shouldn't be in your five but are right now, and intentionally put people that are amazing in your five. You have to chase happiness and not do things that are draining to you. It's the same with your body and these mitochondria. Like, you have to, like, give them the stuff that they need and get rid of the things that are draining them. And so they all connect. It's all connected. Your mitochondria and you are one thing. So this woo stuff that we're talking about greatly affects your mitochondria too.
So what, with listening to all of that, thank you, there's so much disease right now. I mean, there's disease like cancer, but there are all these other types of things popping up. I can't tell you. I mean, it's more often than not now to be listening to someone talking about being diagnosed with XYZ. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's chronic everywhere. And can we just sum this up as a lifestyle disease? I mean, ultimately all these names or labels for these different types of whatever it's manifesting as, that specific type that's been named that disease state, is it ultimately just call it a lifestyle disease? We don't have to give it a name necessarily. Ultimately, it's all coming from the same source of out of alignment and breaking down to this mitochondria breaking down. And then if we're feeling sluggish and tired and this is probably a flag that we need to pay attention, because the feeling of constant exhaustion is ultimately going to turn into one of those labels.
Right. If the world is so much better now, and we have so much better access to healthcare, and we have so many more things, the internet and cell phones, and life is so great, then why is it we're all so tired and sick? And why is it your parents and your parents' parents were actually healthier than you? What's actually going on here? What's changed? And I'll tell you, it's ultra processed food that didn't exist 50 years ago. It's living your life in your box, like finding more reasons to stay in your little box and not engage with the world out there. And that's, you know, your computer and the TV and, you know, the media room and all the things in your little box that you can stay in your box forever. You never have to go outside. You can have food delivered to you. Amazon delivers everything. Just come to your door and you can be some shut-in and not experience the world out there and connect with fresh air, sunshine, life, quality food, community, meet new friends. It's just not healthy. And like, that's what's changing. And literally, just what is the difference? What is the difference? I mean, if we're so much sicker now, what has changed? And the things they're telling you that are normal and good are not. Clearly, they're not. There's clearly a breakdown here. So, don't be staying up late at night. Don't deprive yourself of sleep. Don't deprive yourself of a good workout. Don't deprive yourself of connecting with people at dinner. Don't deprive yourself of all these things that throughout history have been critical to happiness and humanity.
Oh, you just said something that really just hit me, and it's the shut-in. Oh my gosh, the shut-in. What? That's a good word to really resonate on and think about, because you're right. On the devices, so head down on devices, favor coming to the door, Amazon coming to the door, food delivery, and it's just more shut in. And even when who we're shut in with, you're on your device, I'm on my device. And I mean, hello, when we think about it this way, how could we actually feel happy and fulfilled? You think back in the day, they had the town centers where all the towns were organized around the town center where you'd go out at night and bring a picnic or they'd play music and dance a little bit or just socialize. And that's why I love going like to Italy and some of these different places, because they still do that. They commune after work or midday, and you see, and the kids are playing around and the parents are talking, or there's couples that are making out on the bench, you know, and it's just such a different, vibrant energy because people are still communing, and we're lost that commune because it's like we're looking for convenience, convenient food, convenient things being delivered, more reasons to just shut in. And wow.
Yep. And if you look back, like Native Americans and so many other cultures used to gather around fire and, you know, tell stories. And that's how history was passed on. And that's where they connected and cared about each other. And that's how like religions or mythologies were established, you know, is just through talk, through connection. And, you know, fire was like a central place like you're talking about. It's the same idea as like a town center. And yeah, that's missing. And that was every night, you know, and that's gone for us. Now we're just staring at a screen, and that screen is telling us how we should live and that we should hate ourselves and that we'll only be happy and we'll only be pretty and we'll only be desirable if we buy this shit.
So true. That's, we're watching the screens that are reinforcing that same message. All right, a couple more things. I mean, I could talk with you forever. And so a couple more things here before we wrap up, and maybe we'll do a round two. You're a keto expert. One, you started with keto 20 years ago or however many years ago before anybody even said the word keto. So you're clearly a leader in this and have been doing this long before it became trendy and popular. I still think there's a lot of confusion for those that are outside kind of the biohacking small little bubble, if you will.
Yeah.
So one, what is keto? How would it be different than say paleo, or can they both be the same, you know, the same, and you know, you can practice both at the same time? And why keto, if you believe in it? And then the final follow-up question to that, is keto the same for men and women?
Those are great questions. So keto is the ketogenic diet, but I think more importantly, It's ketosis. And there's a number of ways to achieve ketosis where your body is making ketones for fuel instead of using primarily glucose for fuel. And I think we're meant to be dual fuel. And probably up until, again, 50 years ago or so, we didn't eat all the time. We would go a day or 2 days without eating. Call it starving, call it fasting, call it we don't have enough food in front of us, whatever. Like, it was obviously very common throughout history that it was hard to get food, that it took work to get food. It took planting it. It took pulling it up. It took cleaning it, preparing it. It took hunting it and, you know, prepping it and cooking it and all these things that are difficult and time consuming and calorie consuming to get your food. And now we can just lazily sit in our house and, again, just have it delivered. We can just pull a knob on a vending machine and, you know, there it is. There's your M&Ms. And so it's just a very different time and place. But also, the starches that we would have eaten, things like green bananas or raw potatoes or oats, those are actually resistant starches that have no glycemic impact. And it actually feeds the gut and would be pro-keto. Believe it or not, these carbs are pro-keto. It's only when you cook them and break them down and turn them into sugar, essentially, these simple starches into sugar, that it changes the way your body sees it. And so that's changed. And so mashed potatoes are very different, for example, from a raw potato. That cooked oats, especially that are sweetened, are very different from a raw steel cut oat. A ripe banana is different than a raw green banana. And, you know, that's like when we eat only things that are super ripe, and then we have like apples that are, we only like the Fuji apples. Why? Because they're higher in sugar, and we don't like the green apples as much. You know, if you look at all these things, they've actually been engineered over time and pushed into the food supply over time because they're the more sweet versions. What are the vegetables we like to eat? Carrots, peas, things like that, that are sugary, right? No one's like buying bags of asparagus and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts. Right? So, I mean, think about what's going on here and think about the messages that you're being told. And so keto is a very natural state of being. And you can also have things like MCTs or exogenous ketones that increase ketosis. You can also get into ketosis from glycogen depletion, like the stored muscle carbohydrate, and doing just high intensity interval training and things like that. And again, that would have been very common up until recently, where people don't exercise at all. So at least 50% of the time, I believe people were in ketosis, no matter the culture. So people are making it like it's some crazy diet. And it is like kind of a biological hack to have like a high fat diet and kind of put yourself into ketosis consistently. But I totally think ketosis is very, very, very normal. And it's why our brain thrives on it and our body thrives on it. But why is ketosis good? Like for, you know, being promoted so much, because we're so metabolically broken. That ketosis, because we're in states of insulin resistance and glucose is no longer a highly viable fuel because it's actually hurting us. Other cultures that exercise, that eat right, that move, that are happy, that aren't as stressed, they do well with carbs because they're not eating Coca-Cola and gummy bears. But for us that are metabolically broken, mentally broken, physically broken, keto is a good way back and a very good tool to get yourself out of this disease state of insulin resistance that leads to so many diseases and leads to faster biological aging.
Thank you. That's probably one of the best explanations I've ever heard. So thank you very much. All right. Well, I think we're going to do a round two. We're going to really delve into so much of your true expertise, your life study, if you will, because you're so knowledgeable on all of these. So to wrap us up, I'm trying to think if there's any other question there. So one final question before I go into my final questions. When you're looking at biohacks, what would be your favorite today?
Besides the stuff we talked about earlier, like, you know, choosing happiness and things like that, that have been huge for me, like technical biohacks, probably the biggest one for me has been like cold exposure, like cold plunges, shiver walks, cold showers, things like that. It sounds hard, kind of like I've been doing fasting lately, which is a great tool as well. It sounds like it's impossible. It's not. The fact that I can like go between do contrasting where I go hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold in the shower. Not only does it reduce a lot of inflammation, it improves your metabolism. The heat exposure and the delta between the temperatures actually creates more what's called bioresilience, where your body becomes more resilient to stress. And it increases growth hormone and testosterone and brown adipose tissue, which keeps your metabolism higher 24/7, all this stuff. But the biggest thing is it actually just makes you stronger mentally. Like, I can do things and I won't be hurt by this. I'll actually be helped by this. I become stronger by this, and it's not impossible. And you shed your limiting beliefs. Like, I just did a 72-hour fast with my community and they were so excited by it. Like, so many people are like, I've never gone this long. I would have never done it without the community. Now, and like, some people were sharing pictures of themselves and they'd never shared a picture online before. Some people were saying like, now I'm going to, you know, go after this job that I didn't think I was capable of getting. Like, it's so cool. Like how something like this that people told them is impossible or they believed was impossible, they do it and it changes everything in their lives. So like, some of these hacks like have actually bigger impacts. And that resilience is not only biological, but it's mental. Like, it's the idea is called hormesis, like where you challenge the body and it adapts and gets stronger. And in mentally, it's called stoicism. Like, the mindset is called stoicism, where the obstacle is the way. And that's like just an important factor of life, is just challenging yourself in the right way, in the right framework, and making yourself stronger, making yourself get better. We don't have to age terribly. We can get better as we get older.
Thank you. The one thing I don't want to do is the cold plunge. So, all right, I'm going to get over my own limited mindset there. You just said the one thing I won't do. Anyway, all right, let's wrap this up. Final few questions here. If I asked you and I said, or just if you repeated back to me and said, Christina, if you really, 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 really knew me, you would know that.
Wow. If you really, really knew me, you would know that I'm a really gentle, sweet person at heart that really loves to help people. And for years, I've given myself away in the process trying to help people, and really at the expense of my own health. But my heart's in the right place, and now I'm just shifting on taking care of myself so I can do the work I'm supposed to do and help others.
I love that. Thank you. Share with me a brag moment. What's something you're really proud of?
Wow. A brag moment. I think one of the coolest things for me is just being able to travel all around the world has been amazing for me. It's obviously exhausting. I travel about 2/3 of the year, and it's not a pace I want to keep up for a long time, and I'm trying to figure out how to reduce that. But being in all these different countries and seeing all these different cultures and in China and Brazil and Europe and all these different places, just seeing the way people are, that we're all people, you know, like I was in the Middle East and like people are just, you get over those supposed differences of religions, of politics, and you just see the human existence, that we're all here surviving. We're all here on this planet trying to make it. And it really, there's like a moment of clarity that comes with that. And when you shake someone's hand and you hug someone from all these different countries and cultures. If you look someone eye to eye, like I was talking about, you cannot hate them. You can't have these differences that we think are there, that are keeping us apart, that are creating divisions. If you hug someone, you shake their hand, those divisions are gone, and it just becomes, you know, a new understanding of, you can have your thoughts, I can have mine, but we can also be good to each other.
Mm-hmm. All right, one final question. That's been pretty much the entire episode, but I'll ask it anyway, since I close out all my podcasts by asking this question. What is one big myth you'd like to bust? One big fat lie you think is out there that you bump into all the time you'd like to call out?
Oh, man. If it was in medicine, we can get to that on a different one. It would be cholesterol, but that takes a whole lot of explanation. But the biggest thing for me is granting yourself grace. And so the myth out there is that you're not good enough. And you probably heard this and you think it's woo, but please stop and listen to this and think about this. You are good enough. Change the voice in your head. Change the voices around you. Put the right five around you. But most importantly, change that one in your head. If anyone talked to you like you talk to you, you wouldn't be their friend. And the people around you, if they're jerks, it's because you're allowing it to happen. You don't think you deserve better. You do. So start changing the voice in your head and changing the voices around you and grant yourself some grace. You're doing a great job. You've gotten here. And there's so much beauty in life that you can experience if you just love yourself and let yourself be in the moment.
Mic drop. Thank you. Sean, I appreciate you. I'm grateful that you're in my life. And thank you for, you've honored us with so much of your time today. So love you, man.
Love you. Thank you so much.
If you're inspired by today's show and you would like to learn more about my money coaching, here's what I need you to do. Head over to Kristina.com/call. That's KRISSTINA.com/call and book an appointment to speak with me. In less than 30 minutes, we will get absolutely clear on why you're not earning enough no matter how hard you work, why you can never get ahead no matter how much you earn, and what you need to know in order to finally have the time and money freedom you're working so hard for. Remember, you're not alone. 95% of Americans are one life event away from financial crisis. I will be the first person to teach you why this is the case and how to be in the other 5% that has no fear around money. No one can do this alone. You need expert help. I've helped everyone from modest earning professionals to those earning 8 figures per year get off the financial hamster wheel and finally win the money game. I look forward to helping you too. Head over to Kristina.com/call and book your call with me today. I'm Kristina Wise. Thank you for spending your valuable attention with me today. We will meet again soon.